Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The wait is finally over, guys. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, or, you know, depending on where you live, but you can still get on the action at BetOnline. They're going the extra mile to make sure you can get on anything imaginable this season. Game spreads, totals, team player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get on the season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win division and championship futures now. Head to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. All right, guys, welcome to another Pitt Panther Rants and our Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. And sponsored by the folks at BetOnline and, of course, Manscaped. How's it going, guys? It's technically Wednesday today, 12:20. And it's about week three of virtual school. Now, to go through some of it, my kids are through all the technical stuff. I mean, my first day, my kid didn't even have school because, well, the website was down. And basically, he didn't do anything his first day of school. And, you know, they're getting through all this stuff. But the thing is that what they're using it for, you know, the online stuff, it's a lot of clicks. It's creating more work for the teachers and more for the students and more for everybody. I mean, I'm about to enroll in HISD, you know, the way things are going. But my kids will do virtual school for a while now. We just, you know, we declared it. The thing is, you know, the schools really don't have a concrete plan, and right now it's just not a good idea to send them. You know, my daughter wanted to go, but it's not the right time yet. So I'm going to do what's possible for them. I mean, they're going to have all the time in the world to socialize. Missing a school year, being at home, isn't going to hurt them too much. I mean, they have online chats now with, you know, to a school with the kid, you know, with their student, their classmates and stuff, so it'll work through. But Hurricane Beta came through Houston and it's still coming. Right now it's just a lot of rain and that's really all it is. I mean, where I'm at, it's not too bad. I mean, my yard's a little bit flooded, but not like overblown. It's just got a lot of water. Just a big puddle. But, you know, that's just part of life. And, you know, as long as it's not, you know, as long as it's not another Harvey, I'm good. So let's go to what happened on Saturday. Pitt took on Syracuse, and Pitt was a 21-point favorite in this game. And 21 points was obviously a generous spread. If things would have a couple bounces would have went their way, I think Pitt would have covered. But they just made too many mistakes, shanked a bunch of field goals, mishandled a field goal snap. And they just, you know, they won 21-10, but the game itself, it really wasn't close. You know, Pitt's defense was very dominant. Kenny Pickett and the Pitt offense, they got off to a slow start, and part of that is also play calling as well. But, you know, to Kenny's credit, he had a nice stat line. I mean, 25-36 for 215 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. But with a QBR of 156-1, ouch. But more important is he got the victory. You know, the running game was for the most part, there's had spurts, but it was underwhelming for the most part. I mean, Vincent Davis, 66 yards on 17 carries. A.J. Davis, 11 carries, 37 yards. Todd Sibley himself had 2 carries, 8.5 yards. I mean, there was no long runs. Syracuse's offense was even more pathetic as well. I mean, Tommy DeVito was 9 of 15, 32 yards. Their only bright spot was Rex Culpepper, who was 4 of 9 for 8 yards and a touchdown. That was about it. There was Taj Harris, who had 3 catches, 72 yards. Pitt had 3 guys who had 5 catches or more. I mean, they had Jared Wayne, 5 catches, 59 yards. Jordan Addison, 7 catches, 57 yards. And DJ Turner, 5 catches, 48 yards. And let's not forget Shockey Jockey, 3 catches, 27 yards. So Pitt, they got a bunch of guys who can catch the ball. Now on defense, Pitt's defense recorded 7 sacks and 13 tackles for loss. That's really good. Not to mention they had an interception, thanks to Paris Ford. I mean, Syracuse's defense played well. They played good. They play 3-3-5, which is the most roll of pain in the ass defense to play against. Pitt's always had a problem with the 3-3-5. That's what made West Virginia so annoying to me, is they play that defense, and they always had such a good luck with it. I just don't understand it. I mean, it was, didn't matter. I mean, that defense, for some reason, was always hard to dissect. I mean, you had to have really good playmakers to do it. But Pitt did on certain occasions. I mean, LeSean McCoy was able to dissect the defense 2 years in a row. So we had that going for us. But the thing is this schedule is going to get harder for Pitt. And I just don't think that having this kind of performance on offense is going to win them any more games. I mean, unless Pitt's defense morphs into the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, where almost every win they had was by a shutout. Yeah, that's pretty much the only way they're going to do this. But yeah, I mean, as far as team stats go, Pitt had 342 yards of total offense. The penalties, though, were still there. I mean, that was another thing. Of course, turnovers. So, our hope is they get this stuff shored up because, they got Louisville next week, this coming Saturday, and it won't be an easy game. And speaking of that, we'll get into that here in a bit because there were some interesting things that happened in college football. Now, as we look at the rest of the ACC this past weekend, Clemson knocked off Citadel 49-0, which was expected. Notre Dame kicked the crap out of South Florida 52-0. Central Florida beat Georgia Tech 49-21. Boston College, Phil Jurkovic made his debut 17-23, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. As BC knocked off Duke 26-6. NC State knocks off Wake 45-42. That was a shootout. Charlotte, North Carolina, obviously was canceled. But finally, the game of the week was Miami and Louisville. And this game itself may have changed the race in the ACC. Or may have an effect. The thing about Miami is they've had good teams. But the problem is it's always been the quarterback. They haven't had that quarterback. And that's what's always held them back. In Mark Richt's first year, they were coasting. They meet Pitt. They made actually a good defense. Pitt dominated them. And Miami was never the same after that. Richt retired. And really, the only thing that's been keeping Miami from being great as a quarterback. And I think they may have found one as they got D.R. King from Houston as he transferred over to, on Saturday night. He was 18 of 30 for 325 yards, 3 touchdown passes. They killed Louisville on the ground. And you can hear my laptop making noises. receiving, like Brevin Jordan, some catches 121 yards. That guy is a big-ass tight end, and he was a wrecking ball. But Louisville, to their credit, they kept fighting. Willie Cunningham, 26 of 36, 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Javon Hawkins, 27 carries, 164 yards. I mean, Louisville put up their stats as well, but Miami ultimately came out of it. And that's the thing. Pitt cannot afford to have a slow start against Louisville because they will eat them up. What Pitt needs to do, though, is if I'm going between Kenny Pickett and Malik Cunningham in a shootout type of a game, I'm not going that route. I'm going to try to establish the running game and try to run the ball and control the tempo, because if you get into a shoot against Louisville, our team isn't built for this team currently right now. Austin Peay obviously was just a freaking mirage because they sucked because Cincinnati blew them out. This team isn't built for shootouts. It's a defensive team. It's basically like almost like a Steelers power football team where it's control the tempo and the clock and the defense does the work. I mean, on paper, is this team capable of getting into a shootout? Sure. But they got to realize that here. I mean, this is probably the game where they have to realize it. Because last year, they gave up more points than they scored. And they may be heading that direction again. So let's hope not. But, you know, this schedule isn't going to get easy. So this team, last week they looked like they were, you know, like the offense we saw last year. I mean, where they looked like, you know, for some games they just played. I mean, they got to be up and ready. They got to be in sync. I mean, last week they just weren't. I mean, they had some, you know, spats here and there where they looked really good, but they got to put a full 60 minutes together, a complete game, and hopefully close this one out, because this game ain't going to be easy and the schedule isn't going to be easy. And if this program must be great, they gotta freaking strap it on and do it. But now looking at the rest of the top 25, Oklahoma State beats Tulsa 16-7. Cincinnati wiped out Austin Peay. Louisiana beats Georgia State 34-31. Marshall beats Appalachian State. Jesus, that's all there was? Yeah. SEC will be starting up here pretty soon. In fact, let's take a look at that week 4. If it ever gets to week 4. Week 4, we got Kansas State and Oklahoma, Florida and Ole Miss, Kentucky and Auburn. Oh, yes. This weekend, guys, is going to be a fun one. Mississippi State, LSU, Texas Tech, Army, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Georgia, Arkansas. Yeah, this is going to be a really good weekend. And then next month we got the Big Ten and Pac-12 coming back. And supposedly the MAC might come back as well. So we may get some action here. Now, as far as the Big Ten goes, they're coming back. And I see a lot of people upset over this for a lot of reasons. And the thing is it's, to me, I'm not sure if so much if it's because of this, if it's the current concerns of the players. I think it's more politics is what it feels like. Because, you know, the President of the United States got involved in the Big Ten thing. And obviously the Big Ten decided to change their course to recontinue the season. So obviously the president now gets to claim credit for saving the Big Ten. And people are mad about that. Obviously his hate, you know, the people who oppose him hate it because now he gets to claim credit for it. So it's not really, to me it doesn't feel like there's concern about the football players at all. Nobody cares about it. Nobody really cares about the football players. They care more about the politics of it than the players. But, you know, as far as things go, I mean, ACC, a bunch of teams are still playing. And as long as teams are making the precautions, doing the right guidelines, hey, we're still doing it. I mean, these guys are, you know, are doing as well. So let's take a look at the ACC for week four. We got Pitt and Louisville. Pitt has a tough defense. Louisville, not so much. But Pitt's a three-point favorite in this one, which I don't, you know, I'm not sure. The over-under this game is 55. I'd probably take the under this one because I think it's, if Pitt wins, it's going to be a low-scoring game. If they lose, I think it's going to be a high-scoring one. It just depends if Pitt can play to, Pitt's got the weapons to do it. It just, we'll see. Georgia Tech and Syracuse. Tech's an 8-point favorite. Honestly, I like Syracuse's defense in this one. I think Syracuse gets the win column for this week. They're going to knock out Georgia Tech. Duke, Virginia. Duke just isn't good. You know, they lost Notre Dame. They lost last week to, you know, to BC. They got Virginia. I think this game will be a low-scoring one. I like UVA in this one. Texas State and Boston College. Yeah, that's an obvious one. BC, I think, goes to 2-0. Florida State, Miami. FSU just isn't there yet. Mike Norvell supposedly isn't coaching this game because of, you know, he contracted COVID, which we'll get into later. But Miami's 2-0. I think they rolled to 3-0. Virginia Tech will open against NC State. Tech's done with a lot of, you know, players out. I think they'll still win this one. NC State did play a hell of a game. Notre Dame and Wake. This game's postponed because supposedly Notre Dame has some, you know, some issues with the COVID. But as we look at the SEC, Florida and Ole Miss. Joey Freshwater, Lane Kiffin makes his debut. I think Florida wins this one, though. But wouldn't surprise me if Kiffin finds a way. He's kind of ballsy. Kentucky and Auburn. I like Auburn this one. Mississippi State and LSU. It's an interesting one because this is going to be their first game on Joe Burrow. I got to go Mississippi State on this one. They're 16-point favorites, 60-point dogs. I think they cover, and I think they win. Georgia and Arkansas. Razorbacks are hot garbage, so I go with Georgia. Bama, Missouri, I go with Alabama. Texas A&M and Vanderbilt, I think Texas A&M is going to have a really good season this year. I think they're, to me, they're kind of like the dark horse. I go with A&M. Tennessee and Carolina, I'm going with Tennessee. And, of course, the Big 12. Kansas State and Oklahoma. Oklahoma, obvious winner there. TCU and Iowa State. I'd probably go with TCU in this one. Texas Tech. Texas is an 18-point favorite. Tech struggled in their first game. They won, but they struggled. Over-under 70 points. I think it goes under. I like Texas, though, to win, but I think they cover, too. West Virginia, Oklahoma State. I take Oklahoma State. And then Kansas and Baylor. I guess Baylor's still trying to play them. I think they are going to play on them. Yep. They're slated to. Obviously, Baylor's a 16-point favorite. They're getting 16 points against Kansas? I mean, no, Kansas is getting 16 points, but that's a pretty good. I think Baylor's going to cover that. They should cover it with no problem. But anyways, that is what I have for college football. And you guys, with college football and, of course, the NFL, you can get on the action at betonline.ag. They're going extra mile to make sure you get on anything imaginable. Game spreads, totals, team player and coaching props, they're going to give you more options than any place online. And they got season-opening bonuses you can take advantage of. Go check out betonline.ag. Sign up today and play some bets. And of course, you guys, with the with things starting opening back up, you want to get the Manscaped, because you know, dang season will be come back, so you gotta be prepared. And the Manscaped has the Lawnmower 3.0, which is an electric trimmer. It's designed to give you the confidence boost for body image. So whether it's a long-term relationship or a one-night stand, you want to be prepared. You want to have your fellas nice and bald, nice and clean down there. And you want them smelling good too, because you know what? Manscaped has a crop preserver. It's a deodorant for your balls. So you know what? That one-night stand, you may get a follow-up date after that. You never know. And of course, the Shears 2.0. It's a nail piece kit. Gives you all the things you need to make your nails look good. Or you know what? If you're not into that, just give them to the girl you're dating, or guy, whichever you prefer. So go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code Armchair, get 20% off your order, and of course, free shipping. Now there was a funny thing that came over my timeline last week. And I can kind of relate to this, so I'm going to play it right. This is Mike Camerlingo, a comedian who does those 60-second shorts. So here's what he has to say. This was funny. This is a sports radio host going through a divorce.
I'm Mike Camerlingo, and here's your Sports Minute. The Celtics lost to the Heat last night by five. Five, that's the number of years I spent watching HGTV. Do I regret the weekend in 2017? I camped out at a Barnes & Noble trying to meet Chip and Joanna Gaines? No, I don't. We all make choices, and I fucking love a vintage farmhouse. The Celtics got outscored in the paint, and if there's ever a place you do not want to mess up, it's the paint. God forbid we try to spice the living room up with a little blue sky, but yeah, sure. The guy at Home Depot wants to take her side. Yeah, let's go with it. Not sure if he can even do six dips like you-know-who, but yeah, whatever. He's the expert. Despite an early lead, Boston fell apart in the third quarter after the Heat started dropping threes. Of course, that pales in comparison to the kitchen bathroom heaters my mother-in-law has been dropping during quarantine. A window, a match, good God, my nose is no more. After the game, there was an argument in the Celtics locker room between players, but that's a normal relationship, if you ask me. Feel like if someone else has started a paintball league with his high school friends, it's important you just talk face-to-face instead of getting a bunch of lawyers involved. The Celtics are down 2-0, but remember, they still have a few more chances. More chances, something I apparently waved bye-bye to after I drunkenly sent Lisa's family a picture of my cousin Teddy's inflamed asshole.
I like that a lot. So I decided to take a page out of his book. And here is sports radio host who's had enough of Twitter and, of course, the whole woke thing. So here goes, folks. Pitt knocked off Syracuse this past Saturday at Heinz Field. Pitt's offense got to a slow start, but then became woke. Woke like those West Coast cities that our millennial reporters pinched their nipples to. Also in the ACC, Florida State coach Mike Norvell contracted COVID, and he won't be at the game this Saturday. Oh, that's great. More whining from the virtual signaling in the sports media. You know, I bet some of these guys wear three condoms to have sex with when they're hooking up with their partners. Meanwhile, in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo won the MVP. LeBron James finished second, which I'm sure made all the trust fund hipsters who love to tell me how to live my life cry with their emotional support animals. Yeah, you know what? I'm living my best life. So go suck down a soy latte while you're at it. And eat shit. LeBron finished second. And finally, more fans will be allowed to attend NFL games while Heinz Field remains empty, thanks to our pussy leadership in the government. That's okay. I'll just go to a crowded-ass restaurant, have a few beers, and watch the game in other places, where there's still America. Thank you, and that is our Sports Minute. And you know, I'm sure you guys know who I'm talking about on Twitter. And, you know, big shout out to him. I have no issues with Paul's ice. I think he's actually, my dealings with him have been fine, of course. I'm sure he'll get a kick out of this as well. So, because that's pretty much how, where I got all this from. I mean, he gave me enough material for this part of it. You know, I wanted to do the whole divorce thing because, recently have went through the same thing, but I wanted to do something a little different here. So, you know, Paul, if I get any royalties off this, I'll gladly share them with you. Anyways, also around in sports, I watched the NBA Western Conference Finals. Denver knocked off the Lakers, and I'm telling you what, game four becomes a must win for the Lakers because the longer the series goes, it favors the Nuggets. The Nuggets last two series went seven games, and they were able to wear their opponents down. And of course, you know, well, look what they did to the Clippers. And if you saw game three, the Lakers made a comeback, but they were tired. So that's why this game becomes, I mean, if it wasn't for Anthony Davis's three in game two, you know, Nuggets are up 2-1, and three, you know, Lakers are even more in a world of hurt. But this becomes a must win. The Celtics are down 2-1, and obviously game four is a must win for them. The Heat's just playing really good basketball right now, and the Celtics gushing together. Also to close out, guys, the NFL still underway. I love Cam Newton with Bill Belichick so far. I think he played a hell of a game against the Seahawks. For the Steelers, Big Ben is back. You know, he's doing his thing. The Steelers got the Texans this set this Sunday, and the Texans are just hot garbage right now. I mean, I'm not sure if Bill O'Brien gets another year. He got rid of Nuke Hopkins, who's flourishing in Arizona. I mean, they're 3-point favorites in this game, the Steelers are, but, you know, Deshaun Watson's a hell of a player, but he might need to get the hell out of Houston. As much as I like to say that, he got a 4-year deal for $160 million, so he's going to get paid. But I'm sure Bill O'Brien wants another year. He has to build this team, but I'm not sure if he's going to get it. I mean, I think this team's going to take a big nosedive. I mean, at one point, this team had Deshaun Watson, Duke Hopkins, and then they had J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Jadeveon Clowney. They had a whole bunch of leadership in this locker room. And I felt the culture of the team was changing. And just as I felt it was changing, these players are gone. I don't get it. Anyways, guys, enjoy your weekend unless I podcast some more before this week's over. I doubt it. Stay safe out there. Hail to Pitt. Bye.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.